First reading is from Isaiah chapter 56, reading verses 1 and 6 to 8, and can be found on page 617. Isaiah 56, 1 and 6 to 8. These are the words of the Lord. Maintain justice and do what is right, for my deliverance is close at hand, and my victory will soon be revealed. So too with the foreigners who give their allegiance to me, to minister to me, and love my name, and become my servants. All who keep the Sabbath unprofaned and hold fast to my covenant, these I shall bring to my holy hill and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their offerings and sacrifices will be acceptable on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. This is the word of the Lord God, who gathers those driven out of Israel. I shall add those who have already been gathered. And the second reading is from Matthew chapter 15, reading verses 10 to 28, and is on page 14. Matthew 15, 10 to 28. He called the crowd and said to them, "Listen and understand. No one is defiled by what goes into his mouth, only by what comes out of it." Then the disciples came to him and said, "Do you know that the Pharisees have taken great offense at what you have been saying?" He answered, "Any plant that is not of my heavenly Father's planting will be rooted up. Leave them alone. They are blind guides, and if one blind man guides another, they will both fall into the ditch." Then Peter said, "Tell us what that parable means." Jesus said, "Are you still as dull as the rest? Do you not see that whatever goes in by the mouth passes into the stomach and is so discharged into the drain? But what comes out of the mouth has its origins in the heart, and that is what defiles a person. Wicked thoughts, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, perjury, slander, these all proceed from the heart, and these are the things that defile a person. But to eat without first washing his hands, that cannot defile him." Jesus then withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and a Canaanite woman from those parts came to meet him, crying, "Son of David, have pity on me. My daughter is tormented by a devil." But he said not a word in reply. His disciples came and urged him, "Send her away. See how she comes shouting after us." Jesus replied, "I was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and to them alone." But the woman came and fell at his feet and cried, "Help me, sir." Jesus replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." "True, sir," she answered, "and yet the dogs eat the scraps that fall from their master's table." Hearing this, Jesus replied, "What faith you have! Let it be as you wish." And from that moment, her daughter was restored to health. Amen.
We sing together the hymn 694, "Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You." Hymn 694.
Sister, let me serve you, let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I may have the grace that you be my servant.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So many years ago, there was an article in the magazine Good Housekeeping, and that article had the columnist listed six ways to learn everything you need to know about a man before you marry him. And it's occurring to me just this moment that I'm reading this on my anniversary, which I don't know if is a great idea. My wife is here somewhere, I think, but so if you disagree, she'll let me know. Six ways to learn everything you need to know about a man before marrying him. Number one, watch him drive in heavy traffic. Number two, play tennis with him. And I would say just play sports or any competitive game. You'll find a lot about a person. Listen to him talk to his mother when he doesn't know you're listening. See how he treats those who serve him. So waiters, waitresses, maids, anyone like that. Notice what he's willing to spend his money to buy. And there's a lot of conviction in a lot of us guys in here. Look at his friends. And then that was number six. And then it says, if you still can't make up your mind, she says, then look at his shoes. A man who keeps his shoes in good repair generally tends to the rest of his life as well. Now, I would say, apart from maybe that bit about the shoes, I would say that this is pretty good overall advice, and it's good because all of those things that are listed have to do with either the habits and practices of a person and how they treat other people, or they have to do with how a person responds in a stressful situation or when they are under pressure, like driving in heavy traffic or playing competitive sports. A while back, I was listening to a podcast on the topic of mental health, and the host made a comment along these lines that really stuck out to me. She commented that whatever you're filled with is what is going to come out of you when you get bumped. So whatever you're filled with is what's going to come out when you get bumped. You know, I looked this saying up, and as it turns out, the host didn't invent this saying, but its roots can be traced all the way back to an ancient Indian proverb. But whatever its origins, whether a podcast host or ancient Indian wisdom, I find that statement to be generally true. You know, whatever you are filled with is what is going to come out of you when you get bumped. You know, if you're holding a cup of coffee and someone bumps your arm, Coca-Cola is not going to spill out of that cup. It's going to be coffee, right? Because what's inside of that cup is what's filling up that cup. Even if the cup clearly says Coca-Cola on the side, if you get bumped, it's not going to change the fact that your hand is going to be covered in hot coffee. So no matter, you know, what you look like on the outside, no matter what you put out to the world, if you're filled with anger or if you're filled with grace, that's what's going to spill out of you when you get bumped. In our gospel reading, Jesus calls the crowd to himself and he says to them, listen and understand. It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it's what comes out of the mouth that defiles. So in this moment, Jesus was essentially telling the people the same thing that both that Good Housekeeping article said many years ago and what that podcast host was saying. He was telling them that the things that spill out of us, those things that come out, show others and they show us what's truly inside. So to put this conversation in context, he made this comment after having, I would say, a less than cordial conversation with the Pharisees or the religious leaders. They've come to him from Jerusalem and they've really put him to the task, asking him about why his disciples break tradition and eat with unwashed hands. And he snaps back saying, why do you break God's command for the sake of your tradition? And then he accuses them of breaking the command to honor father and mother through their teaching and finishes off by quoting the prophet Isaiah at them saying, you know, you've proven him true. This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrine. I'm sure this was all meant by Jesus to build a base of friendship and support and camaraderie with these Pharisees. But the point is that in our reading from Matthew's gospel, It begins as a continuation of this conversation about the relationship between religious traditions and practices and how those things relate or do not relate to what God truly wants for God's people. And as that conversation continues, Jesus gathers a crowd around him. And this conversation's about rules and traditions and what those things have done. And this crowd had no doubt been harmed by the strict rules and barriers which had been built around these practices and traditions set up by the Pharisees and other religious leaders over time. So if you think about that crowd, if they hadn't been harmed directly by maybe being shut out of the synagogue for things they've done or not done, not washing their hands at the appropriate time, they'd surely been harmed by that religious teaching that was prevalent that they could never do enough and they could never be enough to be fit for the kingdom of God. They could never reach that bar to be good enough. So with the Pharisees still present, Jesus calls that crowd together and begins to teach them, saying, "Listen and understand." In other words, if you hear anything I say, he says, hear this. It's not what you eat or drink or how you dress or wash or when you do your work or when you don't do your work that matters. It's not how religious you are, but it's what you say. It's how you treat others. It's how you live that matters. What comes into you from the outside is just that. It's on the outside. And he fairly graphically describes how that happens, but it's on the outside. But what spills out of you, especially when you get bumped, what spills out of you, this is what shows the world what is truly inside to begin with. Now, I don't know about you, but there are times when that idea is fairly convicting to me. You know, as a parent of children who, you know, don't always do exactly what I ask them to do, I know that's hard to believe, right? But sometimes, as a parent, we all get bumped. And I don't always like what spills out. You know, as an immigrant who spent a lot of time over the last 2 weeks dealing with the DVSA on their website trying to book a practical driving test, I don't want to go into all the details with that, you get bumped a little bit with those kind of processes, and I don't always like what spills out. And there are countless other examples of being bumped in those ways. And maybe I'm the only one here who has that experience. If so, just take that as a confession from on high that sometimes I get bumped. But I'm guessing I am not alone. When we think about how we respond to those situations of challenge, when we think about how we respond in traffic, for example, when someone, you know, zooms by us in a 20 mile per hour zone and a zebra crossing is coming up, it's a bit of a bump. Or when we're the ones in a hurry to get somewhere only to find that there is yet another temporary stoplight put up, blocking traffic to one lane with no apparent roadworks actually happening, it's a bit of a bump. Or think about those times, maybe more seriously, when you've been under tremendous pressure from work or your family, or worse yet, those times when you've experienced joblessness despite all of your best efforts. Or think of those times when you've had bad news from a doctor, or if you've had to continually deal with a chronic health condition, or when you lose a loved one unexpectedly, or see a valued relationship strained or fall apart. You know, in those moments, when we get bumped by life or reality or others, we have to admit the best stuff doesn't always spill out of us. And Jesus here is reminding the crowd, he's reminding his followers and reminding all of us that true religion isn't about following a set of prescribed rules or checking boxes of so-called right doctrine, but it's about what spills out of us or what fills us. It's about what fills us, and as a result, it's about what spills out of us into the world. It's about knowing and trusting that we are loved by God, and it's about how that love then spills out onto our neighbors and those around us. Now, looking at the second part of that reading we had, and the second part of the reading, it's as if Jesus goes out looking for a case study in how this works in the real world. He leaves the conversation and heads north with his disciples to the area of Tyre and Sidon. You know, maybe he's doing it just to get a break from the crowds. Maybe he just wants some relief from the Pharisees' constant questioning. But as he's on his way, he's tracked down by a Canaanite woman who is shouting to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David." And she begs Jesus that he might heal her daughter who was possessed by a demon. So a Canaanite person. Over and over in the Old Testament, the Hebrew scriptures, the Canaanites were sort of the constant counterpoint to the Hebrew people. At times, they were flat-out enemies of the Hebrew people, and at best, they were sort of, you know, frenemies, if you have that term over here, frenemies of the Hebrew people. So Jesus' response to this woman is interesting. You know, first, he just ignores her, which at the time would have been an acceptable response according to the religious practices and tradition of the time. His disciples then urge Jesus to just send her away and be gone with her, which also would have been an acceptable response according to the religious traditions and practices of the time. She then comes and stops Jesus in his tracks, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answers, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs," which is harsh to our ears, but again, believe it or not, would have been an acceptable response according to the religious practice and tradition at the time. But then she responds saying, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from their master's table." And Jesus answers her saying, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And as the gospel tells us, her daughter was healed instantly, which would have been a very strange response according to the religious traditions and practices at the time. You know, we hear this conversation and we don't really know exactly what was going on in Jesus' mind or what he was hoping to accomplish through this conversation. But from where we sit, as we see this interaction happen, in many ways, I would say it looks like Jesus was bumped. You know, twice he responded in ways that would have been widely accepted as the normal responses for a Jewish man at the time. But when he was pushed that third time, when he was bumped, what came out of him was healing and restoration and mercy. And when we read this, it is a challenging reading. I won't hide from that. And we can rightly be put off a bit by what Jesus says and how he responds to this woman. He says, you know, "It's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." That's a harsh reading. But it's a reminder that Jesus' first point of focus was on the Jewish people. And historically speaking, it was commonplace for the Jewish people to refer to outsiders or Gentiles as dogs. But the woman responds in a way that is a powerful corrective to that narrative, essentially saying that there is enough grace and healing to go around. No one has to be labeled in that way. So that grace and healing, she says, if there's no need for Israel to keep that grace and healing to themselves, but rather, if God is truly God, that grace and that healing and that mercy should be spilling out so that even the so-called lowest among us should have their fill. So as a result of her challenge, as a result of her correction to that narrative, Jesus is bumped, and then redemption and hope and grace spills out not only for her, but for all people in a very powerful way. You know, thinking of the rules and traditions and practices we have in our lives and in our world, we set up a lot of rules and expectations. And those rules and expectations often have the effect of creating boundaries or making walls that keep people apart or separate ourselves from others. We set up rules to define, you know, who we are as people, and we set up laws to determine who can be part of our group and who cannot. We then try to live by these rules or doctrine, and we tend to fail to keep those rules and doctrine all the time. We tell ourselves, "Well, I messed up this time, but I'll never do that thing again," or "We'll never treat that person in that way again," or "We'll never waste our time or waste our money in that way again." And over again, we fail. So we have these rules and laws and doctrines that at times exclude others, and at times they exclude ourselves based on these practices and traditions. At times we find ourselves or others on the other side of a wall that we ourselves have built. But what we see in this lesson, what we see in Christ, is that the truth is, whatever rules or walls we set up, Jesus' love is spilling over those boundaries. No matter how many times we have failed or faltered or lost hope, God's love in Jesus Christ continues to spill over onto each and every one of us and spill out onto all creation. So as we seek to live lives of faith, may we ourselves allow ourselves to be filled with the love of Christ. May we be a people who, no matter what we encounter, are filled with grace. And may we pay attention then to what comes out of us when we are bumped. And in all things, may we seek to be a people who share the love and share the forgiveness of Christ with all people in the same way that that love and forgiveness and hope and mercy has been spilled out onto us. Thanks be to God. Amen. We sing hymn 685, "For Everyone Born a Place at the Table." And again, this might be a new one for some of us, so Tony is going to play this through once as we get started. Hymn 685. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for your love that unconditionally spills out over onto all of us and to all people. We pray for those who are on the outside of our communities and for those who feel unwelcome, that they may be included, accepted, and loved so that they might know the peace of your presence and the joy of your community. We thank you for your wondrous creation, and we pray that it would thrive and flourish as you intend, especially in those places where there are no voices to speak on behalf of your world. We ask that you might raise up wise stewards who could care for your creation in ways that bring life to all. We thank you, Lord, for the peace that we are able to experience, and we pray for those whose lives have been upended due to conflict and war, for those who worry daily for the safety of their families, and for those who have had to flee their homes and their way of life. We pray, God, that they find safety and that your peace would spill over into all the world so that all people might know your care. God, we thank you for all that you provide. We thank you for family, for food, for shelter, for friendship. And we lift up those who lack those daily needs and find themselves on the outside. Those who are homeless, who struggle with addiction, those whose lifestyle places them in the category of the other. In the life and witness of Jesus Christ, we see your love spill over into the world as the outsider is brought in and the stranger is welcomed as friend. And so we pray that we too might be agents of your grace, that all people find a welcome place in you. Merciful God, we thank you for the times of health that we are able to enjoy. And we pray for those who labor under illness of body, mind, or spirit. Those who are unable to participate fully in community life due to their health. Those who are shut in. Those who watch from the margins. And those who do not feel whole as themselves. May they know your love and may they know your healing, that they might be restored to life. We give thanks for those who tend them, those who care for them, for in their love they show a glimpse of you and life and your kingdom. And Lord, we pray for your church and we thank you that we are all welcomed as a part of it. May we model your radically inclusive love and grace and compassion and forgiveness in all that we do. Fill us with your good and gracious presence, so much that when we are bumped by the challenges of this life and world, your grace and mercy might spill out into a world in need. Lord, all these things we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, the one who came that we might know that we all have a place secure in your presence. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. We sing together our closing hymn, hymn 512, "To God Be the Glory."
Thank you.
reminder, everyone is invited to the parish halls for a time of fellowship after the service. And now receive the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and grant you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.